Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us.
Good, we are so glad you're here. We really are. Matthew 17. Last week we kicked off this series called Peaks and Valleys. And I talked about those mountaintop moments. Who loves those mountaintop moments? Oh my gosh, if only we could camp out there, right? Only we could stay there in those moments when God just totally blesses us, when those prayers get answered, when those miracles happen, when we go to that worship experience or that conference or have that conversation with somebody and it's all apple pie and ice cream. It's beautiful. And we're like, oh God, this is what I was made for. It's good. Good stuff, isn't it, Jeff? Good stuff. We want more, right? But you know and I know, at the bottom of every mountain is a valley. And just as much as there are mountaintop moments, we have to travel through the valleys. And that's what we're going to be touching on this morning. So, first of all, I'll ask you this. Don't you just love, or don't you just hate those down-to-earth moments? Not mountaintop moments, those down-to-earth moments. You know, for instance, you had a beautiful day down in Chicago. The sun was shining. Now work with me, I know it's very difficult to imagine that right now. As they say in Jamaica, it's not raining, it's liquid sunshine, man. It's just liquid sunshine. But listen, right, you've been downtown, you've had a beautiful day walking down Lake Michigan. Everything's gone so good. Then you get home and the washing machine has broken and it's flooded the basement. Down-to-earth moment. You go out for that beautiful meal at the new restaurant you've been looking forward to. Everything's great. The appetizer was fantastic. The meal, the dessert was more than you could imagine. You come home and the dog has pooped all over the brand new carpet. Down-to-earth moment. Some of you have been there. Yes, I feel your pain. I really do. But they happen, those down-to-earth moments. When you have the most amazing time, but then something just bursts your bubble, right? Apparently, one day, God was looking down at earth, and he saw all the evil that was going on down in earth, and he decided to send an angel down to check it out. He said, come back and give me a report how bad it is. So this angel goes down to earth, comes back and goes, God, it's really bad. It's very bad. It's like 95% of the people down there are bad. There's only 5% that are good. God's like, really? I'm going to send another angel and just get another report. Can't believe this. This is crazy. So he sends another one down. Another angel comes back, same report. 95%, God, are bad. Only 5% of the people down there are good. So God's like, wow. He says, that's not good. But God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send an email to the 5% of people that are good, just to encourage them. Those 5%, I'm going to email them just to let them know and encourage them to keep going on. By any chance, do you know what that email said? Do you know what it said? You didn't get one either then, eh? No, I didn't. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Right? God didn't send an email. He sent Jesus, didn't he? And he sent him to save us all. Because the reality is we're all bad. 100% of earth is bad. And we all need rescuing. But aren't you grateful that God didn't just send an angel down and stayed up there, but he came down. God came down for you and for me. And that's a beautiful thing to rescue us. Okay, Matthew 17. We are going to start off in verse 14. It says these words. It says, at the foot of the mountain, at the base of the mountain. They'd been on the mountaintop experience, Peter, James, and John. Last week we talked about this. Beautiful moment with Jesus, gone hiking, beautiful view. They get up there, Jesus does this amazing pyrotechnic trick. HD, glorious white. And then Moses and Elijah suddenly appear, these wonderful all-star Hall of Famers from the Old Testament. Peter says, let's camp out here, God. Do we really have to go back down there? Jesus is like, yeah, we don't camp out in glory. We get the glory and we carry it to the valleys. So here we go, verse 14, at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. So we'll pause right there. This poor young child, this poor boy, had some kind of epileptic symptoms. But the Bible tells us actually in verse 18, it says that it was influenced demonically. There was a demon there too. Jesus had to cast the demon out. Now I need to put this out there. That doesn't mean, listen carefully, that doesn't mean that anybody who has seizures today also has a demon, right? You get that, right? But in this particular case, there was a demon. Yeah? You follow me? So if you see somebody who's sick or suffering from seizures, that doesn't always mean there's a demon there, right? We got that? You'll be surprised. Some people actually believe that. Nonsense. But in this case, that's what was going on. Jesus had come down with Peter, James, and John, this wonderful experience from the mountain, and as soon as they got to the bottom in the valley, there's all hell breaking loose, basically. You ever felt like that in your life? You've been on a high with God, or just having the most amazing time, and then, boom, down to earth. All hell seems to be breaking loose, right? Reminds me of Moses. In the Old Testament, he had a wonderful mountain experience with God. Do you remember God showed up? Burning bush, showed him all his glory, gave him all the commandments, all this inspiration. Moses comes back down the mountain. As soon as he gets down there, all hell's broken loose. Do you remember? The people were like worshipping all these idols and just nuts, crazy madness was going on. Talk about Moses coming back down to earth. And here we have in the New Testament now, Jesus with Peter, James, and John, they've got down off the mountaintop experience into the valley and boom, all hell is breaking loose. So verse 17, Jesus said, you know, that the people said, we brought him to your disciples that were still down here in the valley, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus says in verse 17, this is interesting. Jesus says, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? I can almost imagine him tearing his hair out at that point. What on earth are you doing? How long must I be with you? How long must I even put up with you? Who knows? Jesus also got frustrated. Do you remember gentle Jesus, meek and mild? Hold me, I'm a little child. But that's not the kind of Jesus we're seeing here, right? He's like, flipping heck, what's going on, man? What's going on down here? What is going on with you people? How long? How long do I have to put up with this nonsense? Now, here we go, right? It's not that Jesus didn't want to be with them anymore, the disciples. It wasn't like he was saying, right, you're benched, you're kicked off the team. Wasn't saying that. Jesus was frustrated and he has every reason to be frustrated. There are times we are allowed to be frustrated. There can also be like a holy frustration. Jesus was frustrated that they were not putting into practice everything they'd seen and had been teaching them for weeks and weeks. And by the way, they could have written a Britannica encyclopedia of miracles, those guys. Here's the deal, right? When it comes to us today, remember this. God is always wanting us to apply what we learn. Sometimes we can get into the trap and think that church, that Christianity is all about information and education and Bible study and all that stuff is good. We need to do that. However, more importantly than just information and education is that wonderful word, transformation. Yes? Jesus was basically saying to the disciples, Guys, when are you going to get it? When are you going to put into practice what I've been trying to teach you? So Jesus says, this is like a movie line. I can almost see it now. It's like that John Wayne moment, or that Arnie moment, or that the Batman moment, the superhero moment, when Jesus just says, hey, bring the boy to me. Can you picture that? It's like, hey, hasta la vista, baby, or I'll be back. Bring the boy to me. Big Hollywood moment there. So then verse 18, Jesus, it says, rebukes the demon in the boy. And the demon immediately left. Isn't that wonderful? Just says one word, and boom, powers of darkness leave. Just one word. From that moment, it said the boy was well. This boy had suffered for years. He had these seizures, not just seizures, but he kept falling into fires. He was probably burnt to a crisp. But he was made well. I'm sure he had the best looking skin in the whole town after that moment. See, what happened here was this. Jesus was bringing, he was modeling what happened earlier in chapter 17. Jesus was bringing his mountaintop experience down into the valley, and he was letting it play out. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to carry God's glory, not just camp out in it. Peter's like on the mountain. You remember last week? God, this is so awesome. Can we just put up tents and camp here? And God's like, nah, nah, nah. This is awesome. You're right. But there ain't no tents. It's awesome. You get it. You hold on to it. You carry it. You don't set up a tent. You shove it in your backpack and you take it to the village. Right? Jesus did that in these verses. So verse 19, disciples then asked Jesus, they're probably like, wow, that was awesome. He cast that demon out. That kid's skin changed back to normal. Totally healed. No more seizures. And they're like, Jesus, why couldn't we do that? We kind of tried, but we couldn't cast that demon out like you did. Verse 20, Jesus says, well, you just didn't have enough faith. You did not have enough faith. You know, I feel for those guys that were left behind in the valley, the disciples that didn't have enough faith, because sometimes in the valleys of life, it's very easy, is it not? Do you agree? Do you think sometimes in the valleys of life, it's easy to lose faith? I know I have. On the mountaintop, oh boy, your faith level, boom, is through the roof. But down in the valleys, I've got to be honest, there's times for sure that I've lost my faith. The gas tank has been very close to empty. God, blow the wind so I can make it to the next gas station oasis on 294. So I feel for these guys. They were left down in the valley. They didn't get to go up on the mountaintops. But Jesus was basically saying, hey, guys in the valley, you need to have more faith. And to get more faith, sometimes you've got to hike close to me. Do you remember I told you last week? That mountain they went up, we often think that's awesome. They went up a mountain with Jesus. Hello, it was 9,232 feet high. I told you last week I got altitude sickness when I went hiking the other month. Not easy. But I think Jesus was saying to them, you know what? You need mountaintop experiences. You need to expand your faith. You need to hike with me, stay close with me. Let me get you over those mountains till we get to the top and we can rejoice together, right? But sometimes in the valley, it can be easy to lose sight of Jesus. I'm sure Peter, James, and John, who had just come back down the mountain, I'm sure they were charged up and ready to change the world. But the other disciples that had been in the valley, that's exactly what they needed at that time. So here we go, right? It's very important. Jesus is teaching us that, you know, we make time for mountaintop experiences with God, whether that's to get alone with God, to go to a conference, to read a book, to listen to worship music, to do something new for God, maybe a missions trip, or to put into practice what the speaker has been talking about on a Sunday. There's many ways we could discover those mountaintop experiences, right? Not always easy, I agree, but there are many things we can do. And God's wanting us to do that, then carry those experiences into everyday life. But the thing is this, right? God wants us to bring it into the valley and help change situations. But what about when we're in the valley? And this is what I want to kind of just center on this morning. What about when we're in the valley experience of life and it's a dark valley? What about when we're going through the valley and it's not quite a meadow, but it's a dark valley, like in Psalms, a valley of the shadow of death? What about those times in life, and I know you've been through them, or maybe even now you're going through them, and the thought of a mountaintop experience is like looking at a vacation brochure when you go home going, wouldn't that be nice to be at the beach? But what about those times in life where personally it's just suffocatingly challenging? It's difficult, and literally we feel like we're just crawling through the valley and barely clinging on in hope to God's promises. Have you ever been there? Even recently, right? Where it seems like I'm in the valley, I'm crawling through and clinging on. I'm crawling through and clinging on. I'm just kind of crawling through, and God, I know your promises are there somewhere. I know. I'm clinging on. Good thing is you're still moving, barely, but you're still moving. But you know what I'm talking about. What about those moments? What about those moments? David knew what that was like. David totally knew. David's own people rebelled against him. They left him. People were hunting him down. They wanted him dead. He was on the run, like living in caves for weeks and weeks, all on his own. David knew what it was like. David had been through the mountaintop experiences, and boy, was he in a valley. But I love this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. David says, in the midst of all his trouble and despair, it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. That wasn't even on a mountaintop. That was in some wet, damp, dismal cave. That wasn't at a worship conference where they've got the best band in the world. It wasn't at, you know, Joel Osteen's church or Billy Graham Crusade or whatever you want to tag on to your favorite preacher. It wasn't at any of that. He was on his own. But it said David strengthened himself in the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And I find that challenging, but you know what? Challenging in a good way, because for me, there's no excuse not to traverse through the valleys of life, as difficult as they are, even if it's crawling through and clinging on, because I could still strengthen myself, and you can too, in the Lord. David would sing songs by himself to God. He would meditate on the words of God, and we can do that. Basically, we're to charge ourselves up and shine our lights. But to do that, we've got to stay connected to Jesus. In those times where we're in the dark valleys, we've got to keep charging ourselves up in Jesus. We've got to keep reminding ourselves, our mental state. We've got to keep saying, you know what? Life isn't great. I'm crawling through and I'm clinging on. But God is for me. God is with me, and God has great plans to help prosper me. God is for me, God is with me, and He wants to prosper me. I know it's easier said than done. Trust me, I totally know. I haven't got it all together. I haven't written a book of A to Z steps to conquer this. But you know what? It's not easy, but that's where faith has to kick in. That's where faith kicks in. And think of this, when you go through the dark valley, you'll shine. You may say to me, well, I don't feel much like a Christian. I feel like the weight of this world is crowding in on me. I feel like I'm just so down in the dumps. But trust me, even if you're connected to Jesus at those darkest hours, you'll still shine. You know, several years ago, I had a flashlight in the basement, and this is kind of typical of me in a way. Never learn. But I'd go down in the basement and sometimes I'd check the battery to see if it was in. I'd be thinking, you know, it's important, isn't it, Ken, to have a flashlight that works with healthy batteries in case there's a power cut. This is Illinois and we usually get power cuts, don't we, in the summer when there's thunderstorms and stuff, or even in the winter, which is even worse, but that's beside the point. But I kept going down and going, I've got to change the battery. This is really dim. I can barely see the light. And sure enough, in typical Mark Tipple fashion, I forgot to do it, right? And sure enough, that summer, there was a power cut. And I remember making it down to the basement, and I got that flashlight, and I turned it on. And even though the battery was like nearly dead, and it was really dark, it was kind of amazing because the battery was nearly depleted, but there was still enough light. And it was like almost the darker it was, the better it was, the light. It's like the darker it was helped the depleted, battered battery at the flashlight, if you see what I'm saying, right? And friends, you may not feel like you're a shining light for Jesus, but trust me, if you keep hiking with him, if you keep navigating through the valleys of life, if you stay close to the source, you'll shine. You'll shine. You may say to me this morning, that's totally me, Mark. I'm going through the valley and I'm just literally crawling through and clinging on. But you know what? You're still shining. Because there's many people that don't crawl through. There's many people that go backwards in the valley. There's many people that set up shop in the valley. There's many people that have never got out of the valley, but at least you're crawling through and clinging on. Yes, amen? Oh, boy. You'll shine. Let's look at some famous verses to help us navigate those valley moments. Turn to Psalm 23 with me, please, if you've got your Bibles. Psalm 23, it's like famous psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. When you follow Jesus and you make him your shepherd, that's everything. That's everything you need. I know we could use a better car, a bigger house, or more vacations, or different flavored ice cream, or a bit more cream on my cappuccino, please, Jesus. But really, no, seriously, when the Lord is your shepherd, that's all. That's all you need. Verse 2, it says, he lets me rest in green meadows and he leads me beside peaceful streams. This is in the valley, by the way. Valleys are difficult, but it's not always doom and gloom. There are green meadows in the valley. There's life in the valley. Very often, well, the life is in the valley. You ever seen that show with Bear Grylls? What's it called? Man versus Wild, right? Discovery Channel. Time and time again, I've learned a lot from Bear Grylls. If this ever happens to me, I'm Bear Grylled up, I'm ready. But just a bit of advice from Bear Grylls. If you ever get lost or a plane, you know, have to jump out of a plane with a parachute or whatever, and you land on top of a mountain, first thing Bear Grylls ever does is he starts looking for a stream. Because he follows the stream all the way down the mountain. And he'll follow it down into the valley because he knows that where the stream is, that's where you'll find civilization eventually, right? Because the stream will start at the top, and as you go down, there's more fruit growing on the trees, there's more animals roaming around, then you find people because people need food, right? Then you find roads, that's your ticket out of there. But there is life in the valley. And it says the Lord will lead us, he will guide us through those darkest days, and he'll let us rest in green meadows and peaceful streams. Verse 3, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. But here we go. I want to kind of hover and circle a little bit around verse 4. It says, David says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, another translation says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I remember watching the Flintstones a long time ago. Do you remember the cartoon, the Flintstones? Barney Rubble. And I remember them going to the Grand Canyon one day in this one episode. And back, you know, the Flintstones was like hundreds of years ago. And they went to the Grand Canyon, and it was just basically, it wasn't the Grand Canyon as we know now. It was just basically a tiny little trickle, right? And they said to each other, hey, I heard this place is going to be a big deal one day. And the thing is with the Grand Canyon, right, it's only the Grand Canyon because over time, it's forged a big, huge, massive canyon, a big valley, and it's been formed by erosion, by breaking down. That's how it's been formed over many, many years. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves this question, not always, but sometimes when we're in a valley and it gets tough, sometimes God can use those experiences. He doesn't always, it doesn't cause them, but sometimes he can use them to get stuff out of us and break us down a little bit to make us better, right? Do you believe that? It's not a pleasant experience, but sometimes he's forming and shaping us through the roughest of circumstances. And David recognized that. Verse 5 says, I will not be afraid because God, you're my shepherd and you're close to me. Jesus is always close with you. He's always beside you. Remember that verse, I will never leave you. I will never forget about you. From those mountaintop moments to the darkest valleys, he will never, ever leave you. Whatever valley you may be traversing through right now, Jesus is with you. Hello? Jesus is with you. It could be a valley of doubt. It could be a valley that you're crawling through and clinging on. A valley of fear. Could be a valley of pain that you're traveling through. A valley of loss. Valley of hopelessness. A dark valley of rejection. Valley of anger. A valley of injustice. A valley of sickness. Valley of poverty. Valley of insecurity. That dark valley that has you feeling hedged in, trapped in, suffocating in fear. But know this, you're not alone. You are not alone. The same God that left the throne room of heaven and came down into this messy world to die on a cross comes down from the mountaintop moments of life with you and is with you through the darkest of valleys. Isn't that awesome? Yeah? Well, look excited, please. Isn't that amazing? It's so amazing. One night, a house caught fire and a young boy was forced to climb up onto the roof, just a little kid, to get away from the flames. He was all on his own, and his father was stood outside on the ground below with outstretched arms calling to his son. And he was saying, son, jump. If you just jump off the roofs, son, the flames are getting high. If you just jump, I'm down here, I'll catch you. The father knew that the boy had to jump, otherwise he would die. And all the little boy could do, he couldn't see his father down there because of all the smoke, the blackness, and the flames. And he was afraid to leap. He didn't want to jump off because he couldn't see his dad. And his dad kept yelling, it's okay, I'll catch you. And the boy protested, daddy, I can't see you. I can't see you, daddy. But the father replied, doesn't matter. I can see you, and that's all that matters. I can see you, child, and that is all that matters. Doesn't it feel sometimes in those valleys we can't see God? Isn't it like, I'm crawling through, clinging on, but where are you? I'm crawling through, I'm clinging on, but where are you? God, I can't really see you right now like I want to. God, do you remember that mountaintop like 3 weeks ago? Can we do that again now, please? And God's like, it's okay, just trust me. Keep hiking. You may not see me, but child, hello, I see you. I see you. Remember, with Jesus, we don't just walk in the valley. The Bible verse says, we walk through the valley. Through. There's a difference. It's not even though I walk in the valley, even though I walk through. In other words, there's another side. In other words, this too will pass. In other words, it's not over yet. The story's not finished for you or me. In other words, the sunshine behind the clouds. In other words, there's a finish line at mile 25.9 of the marathon, right, John? It's not over yet. We walk through the valley. Aren't you glad that word through is in there? You'd probably throw things at me if I said, just staying in the valley. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's depressing. But it's good news. We're traveling through. Hello. We're traveling through, right? We're traveling through. God sometimes has to remind me of the definition of a valley. Sometimes I need to break it down what a valley is when I read this verse to understand the topological concept of a valley. You see, the thing is this, right? Remember, even though it's a valley and you feel hedged in and trapped in, you've got to remember that it's only a valley because a valley is only made or formed because it's positioned between two mountains. That's what makes it a valley. So whenever I realize I'm in a valley, by definition, it means I just left some mountaintop experience and I may be crawling through and clinging on, but I'm on my way to the next mountain. Yes? In between, there's a valley that often seems to consume me and you, often seems to weigh us down in that valley of discouragement. But it's in the valley where I tend to re-examine and reanalyze the good shepherd who's leading me and who's with me every step of the way. Yea, though I walk through, we're going to get through. He says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You know, the rod that the shepherd would have, that it's good that they had both. A rod and a staff. A rod would keep away wolves and attacks of the enemy. The staff would be used to help the shepherd guide and direct. Sometimes he had to lovingly discipline the sheep as well that would wander off with the staff. He just nudged them. Sometimes God has to nudge us because we tend to wander like sheep. David says in verse 6, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me for the rest of my life. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful psalm. You know, I'm not saying this half-heartedly here. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not. I know going through valleys. Trust me, I go through valleys. They're not easy. But remember this too. When it says in the shadow of the valley, there's only a shadow because there's a light. Yeah? There's only a shadow because there's a light. And you're going through towards the light. You're going through to the next mountaintop experience, yeah? And remember a shadow, yeah? Shadow can't do nothing to you. If I see a dog coming towards me, a pit bull, unless it's Tim's because he's trained it so well, it's gnashing its teeth at me, I'm going to get away from the pit bull, not the shadow. Because it's the pit bull, not Tim's pit bull, I'll just re-emphasize that. It's the pit bull that will hurt me, not the shadow of the pit bull, right? That verse says through the shadow of the valley of death. Shadows can't hurt you, shadows can't touch you. But we're going through. So the takeaway is this, if we can just click to the next one. Here's the takeaway, your early lunch. Stick it in a doggy bag, take it home, and apply it. Number one is this. Jesus is teaching us all, we've got to take our mountaintop moments with God into the everyday valleys of life. We don't camp out God's glory. We carry it. We carry it where we go, yeah? Secondly, when the valleys of life are dark, and they will be, we have to stay close to the shepherd. You've got to keep tracking with the shepherd, with Jesus, trusting his guidance, love, and wisdom to get you through. I finish with this story. One day a guy was jogging through the park, just having a nice day jogging through the park, and from nowhere, a guy jumped out the bushes wearing a mask with a knife, and he attacked the guy who was running, and he stabbed him with this knife, and he stole all his money that he had on him, stole his wallet, left him for dead. The next thing this guy who's been left for dead remembers is waking up in the emergency room at the hospital, and lo and behold, in front of his eyes, on the operating table, he sees another guy wearing a mask who has a knife. And he's probably going to take all of his money. But there's a difference. Here's the difference. There's two men who both had masks and had knives, but those two men had two totally different purposes. One man's purpose was to steal, kill, and destroy and bring death. The other man's purpose was to heal, repair, and bring life. And friends, through the darkest of valleys, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, may sometimes have to cut into our lives. May sometimes have to nudge us with his staff to get us back us on track. But it's all because he loves us and he's bringing healing and he's repairing you and he's piecing back together all of our broken lives so that we can go into the valleys and help piece and repair with him other broken lives. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you. Thank you that you come down to the valleys and you help us through them. You don't keep us there. We don't stay there when we're tracking with you, but we get through. It may be a dark valley, Lord. There may be that shadow of death in that valley that brings fear, but God, there's only a shadow, and a shadow can't hurt us, and there's only a shadow because there's a bigger light behind it, God. And if we keep crawling through and clinging on, God, we will walk victoriously. We will come into those meadows of luscious green and those flowers that are blooming, the life-giving rivers, Lord, the waters, the peaceful waters, and the mountaintop experiences, God. So I just pray for anybody this morning that's going through those dark valleys right now, that you would assure them, that they would leave here more confidently this morning, that they would leave here with more of a spring in the step, knowing, God, knowing that this too will pass, because you're the Good Shepherd. You put us here in the first place. You know us how to get through life, and you've given us the best plans that anybody could have. So we thank you for that. And everybody in the house said, amen. All right, if you want to stand, we're going to take up our offering. We're going to give to the Lord.